The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, we thank you that your name is power, your name is glory, your name is righteousness. You are God, you are Savior, you are Lord. We bow our knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven is named, that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your church. We thank you for your singers. We thank you for your musicians. We thank you that we can, on this snowy morning, come to church and rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Anyone who agreed said?
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to church, everyone. Thank you, teammates. Excellent, beautiful singing and music. Welcome, David. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you, Larry. Thank you. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Man, I could sing that all morning. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing another round here without the music. A cappella. reminds me of something. There was a girl in kindergarten or second grade named Capella. It was an a cappella. Forget it. It's a joke. Come on. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to service this morning. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. We thank you again for your music, your singers, your musicians, your church, your Word. Thank you for the Word of God. We esteem your Word even more than our food, because your Word is spiritual food. And thank you so much for giving us guidance and direction and enlightening us to truth, so that we can see truth, receive truth, and internalize the truth. And that truth becomes the power of God on the inside of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my subject this morning is to give light to those who sit in darkness. Why was Jesus Christ born? Why did Jesus Christ come to earth? For what purpose? Obviously, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the work of the enemy. But John 3:16, everybody knows that by heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Hallelujah. So praise God for Jesus coming to earth. And secondly, 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the work of the enemy. So praise God, we don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in torment in our mind. You know, doubt and unbelief can become torment if we want to move in a spiritual direction, and doubt and unbelief is tormenting us. And so we have to use the weapons of our warfare. And sometimes a Christian must simply speak the name of Jesus and bind the enemy. The Bible says, whatsoever you bind is bound, and whatsoever you loose is loosed. We use these tools, as they're called weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. And so we take those weapons and we use them so that I bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I can tell and confess to the world before God that I bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. That's just simply to confess and declare that you can bring your every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. You don't have to sit and wallow. You don't have to sit and be tormented. You don't have to sit and be dominated by thoughts that you don't want in your mind. Through practice, through diligence, through faith, through the Word of God. The Word of God is the weapon of our warfare, and we can cast down imaginations and any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we can bring into captivity every one of our thoughts. This is a repeated message over and over. I repeat it all the time because I could see in people by the Spirit that they do not cast down imaginations, and they do not cast down high things. They do not have control of their mind. Now, I'm not saying that about the people in the church here, and welcome to all of you that are watching with us. I don't know about those of you back there, but there are people that cannot control their mind, that cannot cast down imaginations. Once a thought comes, they struggle, they stagger, they even get defeated sometimes by thoughts that just continue to play in the screen of their mind. And the solution, the only solution I know that works absolutely every time, is the weapon of our warfare. It's a weapon of war against thoughts that we don't want. I believe in controlling the mind. I believe in bringing thoughts captive. I believe in having a pure mind. I believe in having a joyful, peaceful mind that is stayed on God. Do I stay on God all the time? No, I watched the hockey game last night. That my mind was not on God, so I get to enjoy things that I like to do. I can do what I want, but when I'm in warfare, when the enemy wants to bring thoughts across my path, I don't feed my mind junk. I don't open my door to junk. I don't let junk come. But if junk comes, I know what to do. I've learned. Thank God for the teachers that we have. Thank God for our stream of ministry. Thank God for people like Pastor Nancy and the singers and musicians and the leaders in the church, the prayers that know how to teach individuals, new individuals. Be quiet over there. And that's the heat turning on. We do need the heat because there's a blizzard on the way, but it sure looks nice out right now. It's just dropping straight down and nothing's happening out there. But praise God for being able to bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I preach this all the time. I talk about it all the time because that's, I believe, where people are at. There are people that are winning in the war of control of their mind, and there are people that are defeated in the control of their mind. And so that's why it's called the weapons of our warfare, so that we use the weapons, because there is obviously no defense for the name of Jesus. And so I want to get the name of Jesus continually coming out of my mouth, coming up from my heart, and also I want to have the Word of God. I want to have some missiles. I want to have some bombs. I want to have some bullets. I want to have some ammunition. I want to have some grenades. I want to have some knives and swords and all the things that you would think in warfare, because as there is natural warfare and all the weapons are necessary to defeat your enemy, we have spiritual warfare, and we have weapons that are necessary to defeat our spiritual enemy. I do not allow my mind, and I bring myself up because I don't know what's going on in your mind. I know what's going on in Pastor Mancy's life because I know that she's a doer of the Word, and so I know that she brings her thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, there are people that have grown up in different ways, and some people have grown up in the church, and they don't war with things of the world as others who have grown up in the world, and they got saved, and they came out of the world, and they came into the church, and they want to seek God with all their heart. They want to read their Bible. They want to be doers of the Word. They want to get involved in the church. But because of their past, because of their memories, because of all these things, some of them live in defeat. They're afraid to be alone, because then the thoughts come and the mind gets way out of line. But the point, the truth, the victory that we have is that if we will, that the Word you need, use the Word that answers the problem. Don't go find a different word when you've got a problem over here. Don't find a word over there. Find the Word that answers the problems. And the Word that answers the problem is casting down imaginations, bringing our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. How do you know that? Because I did that. That's what I did when I was the one that was in that place where I was defeated, where I was getting walked on, when I was getting kicked around by the enemy, and they told me what to do. I wanted to learn how to win. I hated losing. If you're a winner, then you hate to lose. If you're a loser, then you don't even care about winning. But we're not losers. We're winners in Christ. He's already won for us. And so my encouragement to somebody is do the Word of God. Be a doer of the Word. Don't just come and listen to it and then pretend you're a Christian and not do anything about it. You should know the Word. You should memorize the Word. If you read a chapter once in a while, but you never memorize a scripture, you need help. You need strength. You need ammunition. And that's how you get the ammunition. So the easiest place to do it is Psalms and Proverbs, because they're one-liners. It's just a a book of one-liners in Proverbs. And so go in there and find, you know, go to the back of the book in the concordance and find what you need in there. And if you don't find what you need, go to the Strong's Concordance, because every single word in the Bible is back there. And you can look up the words and you can find exactly the answer to what you need. The purpose of this is not to be defeated. I will not be defeated, no. And I will not quit. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I've been loosed from Satan's grip. Jesus fought and he won the battle and he won it all for me. I will not be defeated. I will be set free. Someone say amen. And then I'm looking at my note. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive away dark of doubt away. I just wrote that down because that is such a good song. I don't think we sang that. Did we sing that? Nope, it came to mind, but I wrote it down anyway. So, amen. All right, so God so loved the world. Why did Jesus come to earth? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Secondly, 1 John 3:8. And this is really, everybody in Christianity pretty much knows John 3:16. But 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the work of the evil one. The Son of God was manifest to destroy. To destroy. And I love the word destroy. It just means just grind him to powder. Walk in him and defeat him to the utmost. Jesus came and defeated the enemy to the utmost. Then, so why do we still have what we have in this world? Why do people still deal with him? And why do Christians even still deal with him? And we just need to take authority, use our authority, the name of Jesus, the word of God, all the weapons of our warfare that are coming, using those weapons to resist him. Jesus Christ came to earth to destroy the enemy's hold on planet earth and set captives free from what the Bible says was all their lives being subject to bondage. What a drag to be all your life subject to bondage. Wouldn't it be a joy to eventually get out of bondage? Now, I believe most of you are clear and free of bondage. But for somebody who's been going to church all their life and they're in bondage, bondage to whatever it is, you know, but the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the enemy's hold on planet earth, set captives free, especially those that were all their lives subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:15, to deliver them. Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death. That's bondage. That's bondage, that I can't even drive my car down the street without being terrified that I'm going to die in a car crash. No, you got to say, hey, if I drive my car and something happened, I would go directly into the presence of the Lord. I'm not going to get hurt in a car accident. I'm not going to get, you know, destroyed. I'm not going to have these things happen to me. I don't think like that. I don't fear that stuff. I cast that stuff down. I trust the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge him, and he directs my path. So if he's directing my path, it's not going to be directed into a car accident or getting smashed from the side or from a behind or some bomb blowing up. I don't worry. Why would anybody even think like that as a Christian? God is protecting you. God has his hand on you. You are in the secret place of the Most High. You're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. He's my God. In him will I trust. That's what we do. We say these things. When I'm tempted to be afraid, when I'm tempted to doubt, when I'm tempted to be concerned with walking down a dark alley, and maybe a person or two that look shady or something are behind me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because I'm bad to the bone. No, because Jesus is with me and I'm not afraid of anything happening to me. So he delivers those through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Man, ladies and gentlemen, friends, people at home, why would we go through this whole life subject to bondage? You know, bondage to fear. In Hebrew, again, 2:15, and deliver them who through fear of death. So you could put in there fear of anything, fear of being broke, fear of, I mean, you could figure out what you want there. People get delivered from the fear of all their lifetime subject to bondage of maybe, you know, trust God for your children. Right now, your children might be hellions. They might be doing the wrong thing. They might even be experimenting with drugs and alcohol and sex outside of marriage or even perversion or whatever. And still, praise God, God can deliver them out of that darkness if you'll stay the course. You live your life. You live your life for God. You can't win your children out of darkness if you're not living for God and you're in darkness. Get out of darkness. Get up off that thing. Rejoice till you feel better. Do something right. Move in the right direction as seed to deliverance for your family. I'm sowing seeds all the time, everything I do. And so I'm moving in the direction of righteousness and holiness and being a doer of the word and seeking first his kingdom and believing that God is taking care of my family. He's taking care of my wayward children. He's taking care of my wayward wife or my wayward husband or whoever what it is might be, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever is binding up somebody in my family. I'm standing for them. But I can't stand purely for them if I'm in doing the same thing. You got to come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Stop it. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. You know, we're not under condemnation. We are under conviction. I want all of us to be under conviction periodically when things are challenged. When we go contrary, we should get under conviction. We should hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We should have a check in our heart. We should know when something's not right. You need to take a step back and identify the check of the Spirit or the disquiet. Why, psalmist said, why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Something's going on inside me and I'm disquieted. Don't you live a minute with it. Many times we're busy, we're working, we're doing something else, and we go, something's up, and we kind of have to blow through and do what we got to do. But eventually you get to the point where I need to take some time and figure out what's going on inside me, why I'm disquieted. That's just not an opportunity for Tums. No, that's not your stomach. That's your spirit. Your spirit is in the around the same place as your stomach. It's in your midsection, and your spirit is disquieted, and it causes this uneasiness. It causes a disruption in my equilibrium. It causes a disruption in my peace and joy. And when I need to know, how long will you walk in the disquiet? How long will you avoid listening? How long will you avoid seeking God to find out what is it going on inside me that is causing me to have a disruption of my joy and my peace? I'm listening, Lord. And guess what happens? God will show you. God will show you. It's called being led by the Spirit. It's not always jolly and peaceful and happy and celebrating. There are times when we're grieved. Oh, my spirit's grieved. Something's wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. What's wrong? Sometimes you're grieved for someone else. Sometimes you're grieved over something that's going on. Sometimes you'll never know what's going on, but you're grieved. And so God is calling upon a person who's been faithful to deal with things on the inside. All of a sudden, you begin to deal with stuff that isn't your problem. It's not your problem, but you're an intercessor. You're going in between. You're going out there for them, and that you're praying because you're a giver. You want to be a giver. You know, people say, well, I want to prosper. Well, be a giver. Well, how do I give? You give in the offering, and then you reap from the benefits of being a giver in monetary things, but you also want to be a giver of your spiritual self. You want to grow to the point where you're not always praying for me, myself, and I, but you're beginning to pray for the needs of others. And so when you do that, then all of a sudden you get these feelings on the inside and you begin to evaluate your life. You go, I know there's nothing wrong in my home, my family, myself, my home, my family, my wife, it's got to be outside of me, myself, and I. And so that means that I'm being used. I'm being used by God. God's pinging me with a disquiet so that I would pray in the Spirit for someone else. It'll be interesting to go to when you get to heaven and you look down the roll of, you know, your prayers over, you know, 70 years, if you've been a Christian 70 years or 50 or 20 or 5 years, and you started praying for people, and you get on that list and you just take a look back and you play the tape or you play the CD or you play the recording or whatever it is, the device in heaven of history, or you just have this download of knowing everything. But when you understand, oh, I remember that. Are we going to remember? God will wipe away the tears. But I think the remembrance of doing the will of God, hey, being used to do the will of God, that's going to go down in history. I believe that'll be forever, that the knowledge of you being used for God, being used for the kingdom, being used for your family, being used for good things, those will be rewarded. And so they will be blessed. You'll be blessed for doing stuff like that. So never think it's valueless to be a prayer. Never think it's valueless to study and know the scripture, to be in the warfare. It's not like you're always shooting guns or punching or fighting or like that, but it's sometimes it's just holding your ground on the inside against some oppression that's come against you or oppression that's coming against someone else. Because here's my bottom line. I feel bad. I feel sorry for people that are in misery and they don't know why or they don't know how to deal with it. And I know, because we all know, when we went through misery and we went through pain, we went through internal turmoil, we went through these things that were going on the inside. Maybe it's mental illness, temptations to be mentally ill or goofy in your brain or you know, worry and fear. It's common. It's common. Worry and fear. What are we going to do? Somebody's going, what are we going to do if the snow comes about 5-10 feet high? Who cares? We're going to have snowmen and build tunnels and do something fun. But the point being is that, hey, we're Christians. We utilize these opportunities. We don't pass them up. I'm not so carnally minded that I don't have time for spiritual things. Again, I mentioned to you, I like football. I like hockey. I like baseball. I like basketball. I like all this stuff that, you know, maybe nobody else cares about. Musicians generally don't care. David might, but about the Vikings or anything like that, or I don't know if anybody likes the Wild around here, but I do. I should wear my jersey. I got a couple of hockey jerseys I should wear to church, but I was thinking about that. Will you let me wear hockey jerseys in the pulpit? I say that meaning, could we get agreement? That's what I mean by would you let me? It's not like I'm, you know, like, you know, it's not like that. It's just we want. So going forward here, again, John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him could be saved. The Gospel of Luke says, Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness. Oh, what a drag that is, to be sitting in darkness. I mean, there's literal sitting in darkness where people are just so overwhelmed that they just sit in darkness, or they just live in this perpetual state of darkness. Dr. Luke, the physician, was very detailed and specific in recording his life with Jesus and the Lord, his life with the Lord, and recording Lord Jesus Christ, and his mission was to destroy the work of the devil. Luke 1:79 from the New Living Translation says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide those in the path of peace. So that's the New Living Version of Luke 1:79, to give light to those who sit in darkness or sitting in the shadow of death. Sitting in the shadow of death. I'm not exact, but if I were sitting in the shadow of death, it means I'm looking around, I'm worried about my life. And I suggest to, as a Christian, we don't have to worry about our life. When you really, really believe in eternal life, when you really, really believe there's a heaven, when you really, really believe that God is there, that if I die instantaneously, I'm in the presence of the Lord, so I don't really worry about my life. And so I encourage somebody to consider that if you're sitting in darkness in the shadow of death, that God will guide us to a path of peace if you let him. But how can he do that if you don't give him access? So that's my objective in every message, is for our church, our Christians, our family, our believers, to give God access to, so that he can give us direction. You can't follow God's lead. You can't follow God's direction unless you listen and obey. What is it? There's a song, an old song way back when I was a kid. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That is just so basic. And yet, hey, it's not, you know, people can, you know, get into these deep theological discussions and they don't know nothing about the simplicity of trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And they don't know how to do it. They don't know it because they're too deep, too intellectual. It's not intellectual. Yeah, there's deep intellectualism, and Jesus knew everything. That's intellectual, man. When you know everything, when you can read people's minds, when you can know exactly what's going on behind the scenes in darkness, you can see in darkness. I mean, that's incredible. So we need a spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, knowing what the Bible says, because it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. What? The gospel of Jesus Christ came? No, the whole Bible. The whole Bible. Do I know the whole Bible? No, but I'm learning as much as I can because I want to be full of it. Some people go, oh, Pastor, you're full of it. No, I'm full of the Bible. I'm full of the Word of God. I can, not braggadocious, but I love to know that I can quote scriptures when I need them. Man, somebody could throw me a bone right now of a question on something, and I could probably come up with a scripture from heart because I study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that's not ashamed, and I divide the Word of God. Someone goes, well, you're not dividing the, you're using the Word incorrectly. Bro, if you know that much scripture, let's just sit down and talk about it. Because you know what? I can back up my points with the Word. Can you? That's the question. Is this a debate or is it a fight? No, it's just that I want to walk in the Spirit. And the way you walk in the Spirit is walking in the Word. You can't walk in the Spirit. You can walk in weird spirits. You can walk in evil spirits. You can walk in dark spirits. But you can't walk in the Bible if you don't know the Word. So what do? I put the Word into my heart so I can walk in the Word. I'm being a doer of the Word. Every day I'm putting some Word in. Does that mean I have to just study, study, study? Pastors, thank God we get to study. We can study to our heart's desire, thank God for that. But for an individual back then, before I was a pastor, I had jobs, I had overtime, I had family, I had kids, I had expenses, I had all that stuff, but yet I made time. Because I realized I can't raise my kids by myself. I'm not that good. I need your help, Lord. Please help me take care of my family to be an honorable dad that I could help grow my children. And then when they're old, if they depart, I can guarantee you they went to church. They saw me reading the Bible. We prayed together, and I taught them the right way. Now it's up to them to do, you know, to do that. Now, they profess salvation. Are they hungry and thirsty for righteousness? I don't judge their lives because I'm not around them that much, but praise God. So, all right, going forward. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide us to the paths of peace. Path of peace. Hebrews Names Version, HNV. To shine on those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of shalom. Shalom means everything. Peace. Shalom. That's what the Hebrew Names Version says, that to shine on those who sit in darkness. It's quoted from Isaiah 42:7, in order to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Misery. I mean, there's nothing more miserable than to be punished in the dungeon of darkness for something you didn't do. Father, I pray for all the innocents that are being held in prisons or in bondage, Father, in incarceration for things they did not do. Deliver the innocent, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It'd be miserable to spend 1 hour in prison for something that I didn't do. And there are people all over the earth that are punished for being Christians. They're being persecuted. They're being tortured. They're being all these things that are going on. We are so blessed to have this beautiful facility. It might be snowing a little bit, and oh, we're having such a rough time. It's snowing a little bit. No, man, you haven't sat in a dungeon. You haven't sat in a stinky jail cell. You haven't sat in the basement or the pits of a hole in the ground because somebody that was just a dictator threw you in to darkness. No, we celebrate the light. We celebrate freedom. We celebrate joy. We celebrate peace. We celebrate long suffering. We celebrate gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We celebrate the fruit of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We aren't living in darkness. We're not in bondage. We're not held back. We can do what we want. We can do the word, and we can seek first his kingdom, and every person should be a participant. And if you're not, that's between you and God. Amen. So darkness, dungeons, prisons are literal and figurative of people living in dark places in our life. What do you do with dark places in your life? Turn on the light. Thank you, ma'am. Turn on the light. Again, get up off that thing. Fight it till you feel better. Resist the devil and he will flee. Cast down imaginations. Quote the scripture. Friends, one scripture could cut to pieces days, weeks, and months of negativity. One scripture can defeat my memories. When my memories want to dominate me, when they want to take hold of me, one scripture can cut those memories to pieces. They didn't go away. They're still back there. But I have now walked in freedom and wielded my sword of the Spirit and defeated those old memories, and I cast them down. And so I don't live in that torment. And somebody's going, man, you spend a lot of time talking about torment, because I know a lot of people and I know what they have going on in their brain and I know what it was like back there, and I'm not going back to the way I used to be. I'm not going back to the way I used to be. I'm not going back there. So now I'm sensitive of the misery. I'm sensitive of the misery. Somebody's talking about, man, Christian's supposed to be joy, man. Why don't you talk about joy? Because we got to deal with the misery. And the way you deal with misery is get into the joy. Get into the joy by being a doer of the word. Get into joy by being a person of the word. Not by, here's what destroys joy. Compromise. Compromise. When I say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a quarter of the way in. But three quarters of the way, I'm still the same old me. That causes misery. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm half in, but I've still got half of me that is you know. Well, that's what causes the misery. Over here in the joy world, it's you're being challenged, and there's some pain here. But the pain is to say no to the world, to say no to the flesh, to say no to the devil, to say no to the past. But I'm over in the area of victory. I'm walking in some victory, and I'm tasting the fruit of victory. I want to live in victory. I want to live in joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. I want to live in the fruit of the Spirit. I can do all things. I can do this. I can move out of that old way. I can move out of that old world. I can walk in newness of life. I can grow up into Christ in all things. I can be fruitful in every good work. I can put on the whole armor of God. I got on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I got the shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. My loins are girded about with truth. I have my feet shod, preparation of the gospel. Please. Hey. Goliath, yo, you want some of this? I got the sword of the Spirit right here, and I got the shield of faith, and I got a helmet of salvation, and I got a breastplate of righteousness. My loins are girded about with truth. My feet are shod with preparation of God's peace. I said that twice. Why? Because Goliath over here wants to mess with me. So if you aren't listening, he is. And when he hears it, he knows that it's the word of God, and he has no defense for the word of God, and that word will slice him and dice him and cut him and stick him. And guess what he does? He'll flee. Yeah. The enemy flees. What is it in Proverbs? Something to flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Does the enemy flee when no one pursues? What's that word there? Somebody knows. What is it? The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. That's excellent. All right, so Again, from Isaiah 42:7, in order to open those blind eyes. What time is it? Oh, cool. To prisoners in dungeons. Man, when we were kids, we used to threaten to take people to the dungeon. And it scared me. I didn't want to be in anybody's basement. Yuck. Nowadays, basements are cool. But in the old days, they were not cool. Darkness, dungeons, prisons are literal and figurative of people living in dark places. Dark places in our life are caused by stubborn unwillingness to admit sin. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm putting my finger on the problem. And yes, I'm pressing a little bit. Why? Because I'm saying you're in those dark places. It's in my opinion, and my opinion is backed up by the Word of God, because of stubborn unwillingness to admit sin. You don't want to say what you're doing is sin. Pastor, why are you preaching to us, a godly group of believers, about sin? Because sin is everywhere. Man, you can't go very... You know what? I'm not even going to get into that, but thank God we don't have to watch the filth that they're putting out. We don't have to watch it. We don't have to have it on our TVs. We can say no. In Jesus' name. But again, our unwillingness and our unrepentant attitudes of sin and rebellion and disobedience, and it's arrogance and pride. It comes down to it, man. If you want to deal with something and you don't want to go to the place of what I did wrong, just humble yourself and fight arrogance and pride. You don't want to take that sword. And I don't want to fight all that stuff. It's just too much. I just can't deal with all the memories and all the people I know and all the things we do. All that. I can't do it. Fight the pride and the rebellion. Deal with that. Admit failure. Admit that when you fail, when you sin, you're admitting your failure to God. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. The Bible talks about considering our ways and making adjustments going forward in 2026. Again, to confirm 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, would not be judged. Judging is not of God in our life, making adjustments and repenting when needed. What do I mean by that? I've got to figure it out here. Oh, judging what is not of God. Oh, yeah. Judging what, read your own sentence. Judging what is not of God. Honestly assessing. I'm alone by myself, and I'm honestly assessing what is not of God in my life. Well, the obvious ones are the easiest. That's not of God. Some things are borderline that people, you know, have a difference of opinion with me about what is and what isn't a sin in our life. I have made choices that may be different than some of the choices that you make. But we're obviously dealing with things that we know need to go. And then as we allow the Spirit of God to move us in that direction of purity. Purity. There is a place called sexual purity. There's a place of financial purity. There's a place of having a pure tongue, controlling our tongue. There's a place of purity in our brain, bringing our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. There's places like that in Christianity that all people that will pursue it can have it. Just got to pursue it. And chasing after God, you want to catch up. You want to grab onto the hem of his garment. and you want to hold the hem of his garment and not let go. The woman with the issue of blood, she clung to the hem of his garment, and she received the healing of her issue of blood. Judging what is not of God in our life, making adjustments and repenting. Haggai 1:5-7. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but you're bringing in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's no warmth. And the person that earns wages to put it in a bag with holes. That's burning stuff up. Verse 7 says, God repeats the phrase, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God says to consider your ways, take inventory, admit failure, mistakes, and repent. Consider your ways. 2026, a year to take responsibility for our life. Why are things the way they are? Well, if it's good, I say God has prospered me. And if they're not good, I say I got to make some adjustments. I give God the glory for the good, and I take responsibility for the bad. Someone say amen to that. Amen. So I know you're there. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Every pain has a reason. Every failure has a story. Every mistake has an excuse or a blame. We weary the Lord with our excuses. Excuses do weary the Lord. He said to the children of Israel in Jeremiah 15:6, you've forsaken me, says the Lord. You've gone backwards. Therefore, I'll stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I'm weary of relenting. Thank God that's the Old Testament. God doesn't get weary of his children in the New Testament. I mean, praise God, the children of Israel were always, always just backstabbing God and doing him wrong. Man, we don't want to be identified with backstabbing God. We don't want to come to church and close our eyes and pray and sing and talk to God and then go out on the street and backstab him when we're around everybody else. That's not Christianity. That's ungodliness. Consider your ways and repent. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. Heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. And I will give you rest, refreshing of your soul and salvation. For those that were sitting in darkness, going back to that idea, it's generally a description of anyone outside the kingdom of God, of those inside the kingdom of God who are living in darkness, which is caused by self-deception and sin caused by self-deception and sin. Outside the kingdom is a simple solution. Get saved and join the family of God. Is it possible that some amongst us are not saved? Of course, it's possible, but we want all to come to the knowledge of the truth. For a Christian sitting in darkness, sitting under the shadow of death, living in the misery of the pain of mistakes, bad choices, self-inflicted wounds, the Bible offers solution. Sin is the cause of all darkness and all ungodly circumstances. Sin opens doors. Just believe it, accept it, and at least know it. Maybe you say, no, I'm not going to change. Well, at least know it's the reason you're miserable is because of your sin. And I'm believing God that all of you that come to church, when there's a blizzard out, you're not into that kind of sin. But if you are, admit it and acknowledge that sin opens doors. No matter how good of a person you are to others, if you sin in private, sin opens doors. Unless we sincerely repent, these episodes of gloom and darkness will not relent, removing the clouds of feelings of doom. 2026, a year to break all doom and gloom. What is my goal for 2026? Well, you can adopt this one if you want to. Breaking all doom and gloom off my life in any area. I'm not having doom or gloom. Is that possible? Well, there are outside circumstances, of course, but within my sphere of influence of where I am at, where I'm walking, doom and gloom is bound and cast out. I'm in the joy of the Lord. I'm in the presence of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I am going to break those chains to doom and gloom. I'm going to have an awesome 2026. Can someone say amen? Amen. All right, so this is how you do it. You got to speak it. You got to declare it. Declarations of faith, calling those things which be not as though they were. Speak into the mountain. Whosoever shall say to the mountain. I mean, do you think Jesus said those things just because they were cute? Or did you think Jesus just said those things because he's God and nobody else can do it? No, he said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. The reason it's not working is because when we say the right things, we go and we curse and we spit foul words out and we contradict all the time. And so God isn't putting the power in the good stuff, because if he did, he'd have to put the power in the bad stuff, and the bad stuff would come to pass and you'd be consumed. So I want to turn my tongue. I want to control my tongue. James said the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. I got to get a hold of my tongue. I got to get a hold of my tongue. I got to control my tongue. I need to turn my life in the direction that God wants me to go. And this is the rudder. I got this little rudder. Well, compared to all you guys, I'm short, but I'm a big human being. And there's a little rudder right here. It's called my tongue. And God says that in Book of James, especially chapter 3, the tongue is a deadly poison. Really? A deadly poison? Yeah, it causes all the fires in your life. The tongue starts the fires in your life. And they're just these little matches, you know, and a little bit of kindling, and you just feed the fire and it begins to grow, and pretty soon you got trouble. And James said, if you believe the word, so James says, the tongue is the cause of the fire. And then you go back to Proverbs, and Proverbs from the beginning of Proverbs to the end, it confirms the tongue is the problem. And then throughout the Bible, Jesus says, you know, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe what he says. So Jesus is confirming that what you say is what you get. What you say is what you get. What you say is what you get. And if I'm continually burning things up with my tongue, then I've got a burnt up life. I got a pile of ashes. Now, I humble myself and I turn myself around by the power of God and the Word of God, and I begin to stop the negativity and begin to speak life and blessing and the Word. And pretty soon, my life turns a new direction and I'm headed in the right direction. And guess what happens when you're headed in the right direction? God will see to it that good things begin to happen. Good things do happen. But some people are going the wrong direction, even people that are professing Christians. Solution. A year to break all doom and gloom. Some it's just battle weariness, caused by a godly lifestyle of denial of the world, the flesh, and devil. Solution is enduring hardness as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Some of this stuff isn't a piece of cake. Some of it's challenging. Some of it's downright hard. Endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, I've been talking about this lately because of I wanted to just understand some of the stuff that happened in World War II, and what a horror. I'll just leave it at that. That's enduring hardness, but it's not for Jesus Christ. It's enduring hardness to stop the enemy from destroying the whole world. The fear of the Lord is obeying the word, the solution for anyone sitting in darkness. Getting back to that point, sitting in darkness. You're sitting in church. Okay, there's light. There's spiritual light in this church. You may be at home right now watching. God bless you, but you are sitting, if someone is sitting in darkness. So what we mean is that they know they're in a bad place in their life. Or you're here and you know you're in a bad place in life. And someone says, well, you're on a hellbound train. I don't believe that. I believe until your last breath, you can get off the hellbound train. But misery is a result of stubborn rebellion to God. Misery is medicated by drugs, alcohol, spending, diversions, anything that numbs our mind and helps hide from reality. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows is that what he'll reap. God says the law of sowing and reaping is going to happen. If I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap of the flesh corruption. But if I make choices to start sowing to the Spirit, I'm going to start reaping life everlasting and the fruit of the kingdom of God. It's a change, but the fruit of the wrong things I'm sowing has to spin around and start moving in that direction of what God wants you to start speaking out of your mouth. We believe this. We preach it because Proverbs is full of it. James is full of it. Jesus is full of speaking the desired end result. The whole Bible is filled with speaking the desired end result. So again, Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. What you sow is what you're going to reap. It's a spiritual law. Thank you. Thank you very much. Started to quiet down over there. James 1:6. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Christians are deceiving themselves. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Hanging out with the wrong people. Here's a good one. I'm filling you up with scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Here's the rubber meets the road. You can debate all you want, but I got a scripture to back this up. And this is the truth. And some people can figure out ways to go around it. But listen to this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God. If I choose that lifestyle, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not there. Formally, yes. Delivered, yes. Made brand new, yes. Created in the image and likeness of Christ, yes. They're there because they came out of those lifestyles. Some of us were like that. And now we're serving God. But if I conduct myself in these manners, according to Scripture, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some people want to split the hairs there and go, well, not inherit the kingdom of God may mean that you go, but you just don't get anything. That's a horrific thought too, but most likely you don't get in. Sin and deception and being a worldly person and the carnality and the flesh and all that will keep you out of heaven. You're numbered with the unbelievers. And some might go, well, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, that he died on the cross for me, and he's granted me eternal life. Prove it. Prove it. Well, how would I prove it? By your lifestyle. Do you honor God? Do you live for Christ? Do you spend time in the Word? Or do you spend all your time watching pornography? Man, it's the pit. That lifestyle has misery written all over it, unless you surrender to God and obey his word. Isaiah 25:7, New Living Translation. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. Those that are dwelling in the land of the shadow of death can be delivered from it. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy darkness, gloom, misery, suffering, consequences of sin, and my bad habits. And what am I saying? I say it all the time. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. There are many that say, well, I've come out from among them. Just still touching the unclean thing. Well, no one's perfect. Have you pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God? Meaning that I'm pressing towards the prize of not touching the unclean thing? Or have you just accepted it as a part of your life that is never going to go away and I'm always going to be like this? And if you take me, God, you do. And if you don't take me, you don't. I don't think that works. That's not an argument that will win. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the work of the evil one. He came to destroy darkness, gloom, misery, suffering, and the consequences of sin. You can come out. Every person can. The power of God is available. He didn't give certain people the power of God and not others. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of will. It's a matter of doing. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn you, to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Saved means delivered from darkness, doom, the devil, and all fear, and everything else related to all of that. Getting ready to close here. Isaiah 50, verse 4, the Lord has given me... All right, so what can I do? What can I do to begin the process of change? In Isaiah 50, verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakes my ear to hear as the learned. So I need to have an ear to hear how the learned are speaking and begin to change my vocabulary into a victorious testimony and begin to speak the desired end result and to speak the word and to call things which be not as they were. I'm changing everything. Change my heart. Change my mind. Change my words. I change. And now I'm fruitful. I'm not great. I'm not a saint. I'm not, but man, I turned. Man, I turned. I was just diving into darkness. Now I've turned and I'm moving in the right direction. And, you know, it's getting better. I'm getting stronger. I'm winning. I'm winning. I don't win every day and I don't win everything. But man, I'm fighting. I'm standing. I'm doing Christianity. I'm doing the word. I'm speaking God's word. And I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know what? Then you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're weak, you're made strong, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, Lord, I just feel like a failure. I feel like quitting. I don't want to do this, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can stand, and having done all to stand, I can stand, and I'll fight the good fight of faith, and I'll press towards the mark, and I'll win in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Nancy, you want to come up here and help me close? Oh, this is my favorite verse. I've got this on my dashboard and my car. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. I want to change my tongue. I want to change my mouth. I want to change my words. Amen.
Amen. I remember when I found out that I didn't have to have fear in my life, long time ago. 2 Timothy 1:7, God, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And the scripture is, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. The word, when you put it in your mouth and you speak it out, it's a hammer that breaks rocks, chains of stubborn resistance. It doesn't do any good if you're not speaking it out, if it's just up here, or if you don't even know it at all, for sure it's not going to do anything. So I used to say, anytime I would have a twinge of fear, God, you've not given me a spirit of fear. I do not have a spirit of fear because God hasn't given me one. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power. I have power on the inside of me. I have love on the inside of me. I have a sound mind. My mind is sound. My mind is not anxious. And I would just say it over and over and over. And eventually, the chain was broken. And I have not dealt with any fear at all in probably 30 years or more. Over 30 years. I'm not anxious. I don't worry. Sometimes I have concern over things that are going on and, you know, in the church's life or people in the church. If you're hurting, I hurt for you. But I refuse fear. Why? Because it's not God's best. I refuse sickness because it's not God's best. I don't want to be beholden to some drug company just because I'm getting older and I got to take 25 pills every day to get out of bed. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. So I'm not going to accept anything less than God's best. And I'm going to fight the good fight of faith until the things that are in the Word are in my life. Don't you think it would be cool if we were all like walking in divine health, all of our needs were met, we were blessings wherever we went because we had our needs met and we had enough left to give whenever God pinged our heart to give, we were supporting the gospel, everything that God wanted to do, we were right there to be a part of it. Our families were restored. Our relationships were restored. And then Jesus came back and got us. That's the way he wants it. That's the way we should want it. Well, that seems like that could be kind of a long way out there. Yeah. Sometimes it takes time for your faith to be built up to resist the enemy and to stop those things and to turn things around. But you take the scripture and you use it. You speak it out. The other thing you have to do is foresee evil and hide yourself. You don't have to have a smartphone. You don't have to have the internet. If that's causing you to waste all your time watching everybody's highlight reel or worse, watching stuff you know is evil, not what God wants for you. I mean, you're all very bright. So there's not one person in here that can say, literally, we don't know the difference between good and evil. I would be very shocked to find anyone who couldn't tell me honestly, would Jesus do this or not? If Jesus wouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it. If Jesus wouldn't participate, you don't participate. So you shut the door to evil and you speak life. And that's that process Pastor was talking about. You have to sit in darkness. Jesus paid the price for you to be in the light. He paid the price for all of us to be in the light. And that should be our goal. Do you know that it's a proven fact that if you set a goal down here that's super easy to attain, a lot of people won't even attain that. But if you set a goal up here, if your goal is up here beyond what you can actually reach, but that's your goal and you keep your eye on that goal, you are going to be up here as opposed to down here. That means your life's going to be better. If you fall, pick yourself up. If you stumble, stay upright. Get upright, keep moving forward. That's the process, and God forgives us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. We want to be mighty in God. We want to be used of God. We should want to be used of God. If you want God to move in your life, then determine that you're going to be a blessing to someone else, because you reap what you sow. So if you determine to be a blessing, then you're going to be blessed. If all you do, Pastor said this morning, me, myself, and I, it's all about me, 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 take, 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 get over on people, get over on people, get over on people. Wow. That is sin, and that is evil. Selfishness, not blessed. Turn it around. God brought you here for a reason. You're not here by accident. God doesn't do anything by accident. You're not an accident. You're not here by accident. You're not watching by accident. You can turn your life around because Jesus gave us all the ability. And I wouldn't trade my life for anything. And I wouldn't trade the hardships in my life for anything. I know what it's like to stand for healing. And I also know what it's like to be healed in that process more and more and more. If you don't quit, you will win. Don't give up on God. He brought you this far. We can do it. Amen? You can do it. You are a blessing waiting to happen in Jesus' name. Don't be a drag waiting to happen. Seriously. Actually, when I was volunteering in the youth ministry years ago at another church, I was sharing some things, and I'm like, who wakes up and decides to see how many people they can irritate and ruin their life every day? One person actually raised their hand, one of the kids. I'm like, you do not. You're just trying to be funny. I don't know. Maybe she did. Who knows? But I would venture to say most of us want our lives to be better. God wants our lives to be better sometimes more than we want our lives to be better, and they can be. So, boy, that is one noisy radiator this morning. They've been talking right along with us. I don't know if you can hear online or not. I think I'm going to call Amanda's dad and find out if there's anything we can do to get those things to, it's like they're talking back and forth. There's a radiator over there, and then there's a big radiator over here, and I don't know if there's anything we can do short of turning them off, but I think we're going to need our heat. So anyway, we'll receive the morning's offering, and then we will close the service, and it looks like it's slowed down a little bit out there. I will do that. Yep. Okay, so we'll receive the offering. We'll pray the salvation prayer in case there's anyone in here that needs to recommit their life to the Lord, or maybe you've just never done that to begin with, or you're watching online. And first step, always, ask Jesus into your heart. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. And we just acknowledge that he's the Son of God and that he's the one that went to the cross for our sin. One sin, which everybody in the world has committed, puts us all on a level playing field. We all need a Savior. So let's just say this together. Father God, I admit I've sinned against you. I haven't always lived my life for you. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you came to this earth to pay the price for my sin when you went to the cross. You chose me. You went to the cross, shed your blood to pay the price for my sin, past, present, and future. I humble myself now. I ask you, Lord, be my Savior and be my Lord. To the best of my ability, I'll live my life for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You need a Bible? And if you're here and you don't have one, we will make sure that you get a Bible. We will receive the morning's offering, and Pastor shared the scripture, consider your ways. A lot of times it's just stuff we're either doing or not doing. We need to do the right things and stop doing the wrong things. And giving is one of the ways that we open our life up so that God can bring blessing and financial, material blessing into our lives. Father, thank you so much for the path that you made for each one of us to be blessed, to have our needs met, and to have enough left over to continue to be a blessing. God, you said that when we would sow into your kingdom, you would take those resources, multiply them back, multiply them in the church, and multiply them back to those who support the church. God, thank you for meeting our needs in abundance, helping each and every one of us, God, to make good choices, wise decisions with our finance. And Lord, thank you for the blessing and opportunity to support the kingdom and what you're doing. We purpose as a church to use every penny to further your work in Jesus' name. Amen.